Genesis chapter 22, we're going to read the first 14 verses of Genesis chapter 22. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. We talked about temptation this morning, and we read that God does not tempt us with evil. Previous to that passage, there's talking of the temptation of God, a trial of our faith. It's a testing. When God tempts us, the word is used as a testing, not with evil. A few months ago, Sam took his road test, and he could have gotten in the car and with the New York State driver person and said, "We don't need to go anywhere. I promise you, I know how to do everything." But that's not good enough. You have to prove yourself. And Abraham made a bold statement that of who God was in his life. And every now and then, God comes by and just to see what we're really made of. See what's really inside. Because a lot of times what we say and what we do is a little bit different. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father? And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid on him the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looked, behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, look now, Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that there's so much in this passage. We see your hand in it. We see how you provide. We see the relationship between you and us. And God, I pray as we dive into this thought that you are our provider, God, we would walk out of here with more confidence and trust in you than ever before. Lord, I pray that you use this lesson, this message here tonight to encourage our hearts. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hold Genesis 22. If it's too late, it'll be easy to find back again. Don't worry. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, the Bible says this, 17 through 19. Hebrews chapter 11 were what we would call the hall of faith, right? Hebrews chapter 11 is all about characters throughout the scriptures that we are familiar with, that God draws attention not by their accolades, but their proof of their faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. God's telling us, giving God's account of what happened that day. In God's eyes, Abraham offered Isaac. Although the knife never touched his body, to God, he did. Tonight's lesson is, as we study the names of God, last week we looked at capital L, lowercase O-R-D, Adonai, meaning master. Tonight we'll be looking at Jehovah Jireh. In our mind, we say it almost rhymes, it's a almost poetic, Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. And that's what we saw here in this passage. God asked Abraham, I want you to offer up Isaac. And then when time came, what did he do? He provided a substitute. God commanded Abraham to take his son. Now, some of the wording here is so important. Not only his son, his only begotten son. Now, why is that so important? Well, certainly we know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Can we see the parallel here? As we read through Genesis chapter 22, it is hard not to see Christ in this passage. You would almost have to have no understanding of the entire New Testament to not see Christ in Genesis 22. But that day, the actual events of what was going on, Abraham was given a promise by God. He says, through you and through your seed, I am going to multiply and bless. When he made that promise, Abraham had no children, and he was well stricken, the Bible says, with age. And we know the miracle between Abraham and Sarah, and they have a son, and his name is Isaac. Last week, we looked at the servant-master relationship as Abraham's servant, we would maybe name as Eliezer in Genesis chapter 24, how he would go and get a bride for Isaac. But here, it wasn't just the son. This embodied to Abraham all of God's promises. It wasn't just, I couldn't imagine being asked to give to offer up my son, not to mention my only son, but what Isaac represented was God's promise. And as we know, God never goes back on his promise. God commanded Abraham to take his promised son, Isaac, and sacrifice him unto the Lord on Mount Moriah. What if God asked you to do that? Say, would God ever ask me to murder somebody? Probably not. But what happens if he asked for your most valuable possession? Would you give it to him? In verse 2, it says, back in Genesis chapter 22, I love, actually, look at Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here am I. Do you see the constant communication between God and Abraham? God says, Abraham, and he immediately responds, yes, here am I. Three times in this passage we see that phrase. Just an availability, an in-tuneness with God. That when God speaks, it's not like, oh, I'll get back to that. I'll see if that works. I'll see if I can make that fit. When God says his name, he immediately responds, yes, Lord. I don't know what you're asking me. I don't know what you're telling me. But whatever you say, here I am. And he says, all right, well, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Abraham's test of faith. Abraham did not understand why God would ask him to sacrifice his son. And at the onset, maybe he got that information, and for a moment he thought, maybe I heard wrong. But when God speaks, there's no hearing wrong. And if he settled in, I want to know why. Now we know why, because we have the rest of the story. But for Abraham, he had no understanding of why. But yet he still obeyed. What a great lesson to us, yes? That when God tells us to do something, whether we understand it or not, in the Old Testament, one of the most beautiful pictures of Jesus Christ is in Genesis chapter 22. Being the Lamb of God, the only begotten of the Father, sacrificed for our sins. Genesis 22. Lord, I don't understand what you're doing here. Yeah, you're not going to, because this doesn't come to fully pass for another close to 2,000 years. Abraham, you might not understand this, but I'm setting something up for 2,000 years from now. I think Becca sent me this message about God's in control. Brother Shirley preached it, yes? And how God prepared the rocks for David in the brook. Smooth stones. Stones aren't naturally smooth. So to put them there and have that water rush across them for that moment, God had this story planned out, this event, to encourage our hearts some 2,000 years later. God didn't understand why, but yet he still obeyed. Isaac was the son through whom God had promised to make Abraham a great nation. And to Abraham, that looks like that was going to be taken away. But yet Abraham still had faith. The instruction was very clear. He was to offer up, look at verse 2. And offer him there for a burnt offering. Leviticus chapter 1, verses 1 through 17, that's the entire passage, gives us the law of burnt offerings. And there's something very unique about the burnt offering. In Leviticus chapter 17, in verse 3, the Bible tells us that the burnt offering is unique and that it is, listen now, voluntary. It was not a mandated offering. It was on the person to choose to make that offering. God could have used any terms. Hey, we are how many years away from the law? But yet he still calls it a burnt offering. Why? Because later on he's going to define burnt offering in this. It is a volunteer or a voluntary offering. Do you understand that Abraham was in no way forced to offer Isaac? He did it voluntarily. Do you understand that Jesus Christ was no way forced, but he did it voluntarily? The burnt offering required the shedding of blood. And it was a symbol of complete devotion to God. I'm sorry, Leviticus chapter 1, not 17. I don't know why it had 1 or 17 in there. It's Leviticus chapter 1. That's how you start Leviticus, reading about the burnt offerings. And that's in your Bible reading when your heart sinks, right? It's like, oh, here we go through the offerings again. But the more we read about those things, the more the Bible does this. Not just eight fingers. Like, it's like DNA. There's a lot of connections I have a picture of all the connections between all the verses from Genesis to Revelation. It's unbelievable what it looks like. And here, Leviticus chapter 1 defines for us what a burnt offering is, and it's voluntarily given. Abraham voluntarily offered up Isaac. Abraham obeyed even though he did not understand God's purpose. He obeyed quickly. Look at verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. If I knew the next day, he tells me the next day, I want you to sacrifice your son. I want you to take a trip and I want you to go here. I'm sleeping in that day. I'm forgetting to set the alarm. Ah, we'll do it the next day. No, Abraham rose up early in the morning and got everything ready and off they went. 3 days later, the Bible says, they arrive where they ought to be. Remind me, where's our Sunday school kids here today? Sunday school. How old was Abraham when Isaac was born? Aaron? 99. Isaac at this point is able to carry wood. He's doing things. It doesn't give us an age, and I don't think in the passage. But if I do 99 plus anything, Brother Drowman, you informed us this morning, 82. 99 plus anything, 3 days journey up a mountain. That's rough work. He had a lot of excuses why he couldn't, but yet he did. 3 days later, he arrives at the place. In verse 4, it says, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Cost of obedience. Difficult sometimes. Listen to the faith of Abraham. Look at verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder. First time the word worship is used in your Bible here. Mark that down. Verse 5. First time worship is used. How is it associated? With a song? No. With a sacrifice. Sometimes we get confused as to what worship is. Worship is a heart connection between man and God. And here, Abraham worshiped. He was going to worship. And he says this, I and the lad are going to go yonder and worship and come again to you. Tell me the instruction again that God gave to Abraham. I want you to go here and I want you to sacrifice your son. In any way did God indicate to Abraham that this was not going to happen? No. Abraham had every full expectation, number one, that either he will stop him, or number two, as we read in Hebrews chapter 11, gives us more insight. What did Abraham think God was going to do? Raise his son. I don't know what medical professions were going on here, but that's not a common medical occurrence. When someone dies, that's it. And that's just what, he just believed God. He tells the men that he will return with his son. That's faith. So far, Abraham's hitting every mark. As God is testing his faith, Abraham is passing the test with flying colors. He listened intently. He obeyed completely. He even went early and quickly, never doubting. Abraham prepares for the sacrifice. Isaac, can we look here? Just look at this. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. What was Isaac responsible for carrying? The wood. Unbelievable. That the sacrifice is responsible for carrying his own wood. Do you see this? Abraham, representing the father, is the one that brings the wrath, if you will. He has the knife and fire. And then when both of them together say, oh, that's just because wood is heavy. No kidding. I carried wood in today. It's heavy. But that's not why it was happening. Again, it was preparing our minds for what is going to happen some 2,000 years later. Abraham prepares for the sacrifice. Isaac carries the wood. Abraham brings the fire and the knife. And then they build the altar, verse 9. Look at verse 8. How about 7? Can we do that? And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I. Again, communication. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Good question, right? Isaac is familiar with watching his father offer up offerings to God. Hey, I know what we're doing here. I've seen you do this 100 times. But we're missing something. And look at how Abraham responds. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So much volume to that statement. So they went both of them together. The volume of the statement is Jesus Christ also voluntarily offered himself for us. Abraham, having faith, believing that God will provide. And that is our name tonight. Jehovah Jireh, God our provider. Verse 9, it says, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son. And again, we can confidently say Abraham is over 100 years of age. I can say that 100%. I don't know how much older, but he has a young man carrying wood for an offering, so we could speculate, but again, no offense, but 100-year-olds and young men, if there was a battle of strength, do you understand Isaac had to go along with this? Because if there was a battle over the thing, I mean, there's something to be said for old man strength, Mr. Seatman, but he's got it. I don't know how you get it, but he's got it. I've had bolts on my vehicle. You say, you got a lot of mechanical problems. No kidding, Burkhart. We talked about you this morning. In a good way. The blessing and help you are. But there's something about old man strength, but after you hit 3 digits in your number, ever see those pictures of those guys? Like on the news? You're like, wow, I'm glad you made it, but you know. Isaac had to go along with it. Isaac saw the faith of his father and just trusted him. Said something that says something about the relationship between Abraham and Isaac. That says something about the relationship between Christ and the Father. Lord, if there's another way, but not my will, but thine be done. That's exactly what Isaac just said right there. To lay down and allow your father to bind you upon the altar with knife in hand. Know what that was? Faith. Isaac knew the promise. Isaac also had been given the promise. So for this was also a test of faith for Isaac. In verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. By the end of the passage, we saw this. The name of this place is called Jehovah Jireh. And again, we always call it God provides, and that is the right definition if we say that. God does provide. God did provide. But that word Jireh doesn't just mean to provide. It means that God sees. He sees our needs. God saw Abraham's faith. God saw what he needed, and he came in and met the need. And all-knowing God sees our needs and repeatedly meets our needs. Now, here's the issue. Here's the circumstance. What we need and what we want is something sometimes very different. But God knows our greatest need. Our greatest problem is sin. So God met our need. In our passage, the Lord stopped Abraham from harming Isaac. In verse 13, sure enough, there's a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. God prepared that sacrifice. He chirped. Listen, animals don't wander off by themselves. He tells this ram, he says, hey, I bet there's good fruit over in that bush. Don't. What happened? Dumb ram got caught in the, or you know, whatever. Yeah, ram got his horns caught in the bush. Who knows how long he'd been fighting there? Abraham locks eyes with the ram, knife in hand. Ram's heart sinks. This is not going to end good for me. God stops Abraham from killing his son. Because as we read in Hebrews chapter 11, he did it. He raised the knife. There was no hesitation. Thankfully, again, Abraham is in tune with the voice of God. See how important that personal relationship is between us and God? And sure enough, God provides. And they make a burnt offering there in the stead of his son. The Bible says in verse 13. And they renamed that place. In John chapter 1 and verse 29, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. God provided his son because he is still Jehovah Jireh. That has not changed. God looks down on mankind and sees our needs and provides. Isn't that a blessing to know that God, seated on his throne, sees your need. And is not just aware of your need, he meets our need. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 to cast all our care upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. He sees what you need. He's ready to meet that need. He wants to meet that need. And if you've been trying to meet your own needs, if you've been trying to satisfy your soul apart from God, you are missing out. There's no need to fear about the future. God will meet your needs. Well, say, how can you say that so confidently? Because by name, that's who he is. I'm going to show you this passage, Matthew chapter 6. We're almost done tonight. Matthew chapter 6. God knows your needs. He's aware of what's going on, and you have no need to fear of the future. What is 2021 going to bring us? Who cares? God knows. And he knows what we need. Therefore, I say unto you, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Why? Because he even provides for the animals. I like this next phrase. Are ye not much better than they? Yes. Yes, I'm better than a dog. I'm better than a bear. I know we're all God's creation, but he died for mankind. Certainly better than a cat. There's no animal that has higher value than mankind. I'm not saying we abuse animals. I'm just saying there's a food chain and we're at the top. designated by God. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto a stature? I'm not going to tell you how I know this, but you can't do anything about it. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Ever see lilies? Oh, they're so pretty. Say, who made them like that? God? Say, I bet they worry about what to wear every day. Not in the least. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. So true. Ever get real close to a flower? Ever see that macro type of photography that takes something so small and just blows it up so you can see all the details of it? God says Solomon on his most handsome day doesn't even begin to approach what God just scatters in a field. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye, and here's what it's all about, O ye of little faith. Remember what Abraham and God were dealing with. It was a test of faith. And Abraham trusted God. He just trusted him. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whether shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Is that not true? Is that not what we spend all our money on? Food, drink, clothing. For your heavenly Father knoweth what ye have need of, all these things. Why? Because he's Jehovah Jireh. Because he sees our needs and meets them. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. No worry about the future. Why? Because God sees our needs and meets our needs. By nature, by name, that's what he does. So what do I worry about? You worry about your relationship with him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But all too often we switch the things around and we get so consumed with the physical, the temporal, and we worry about all those things and we invest so much in those things. And the Bible even says, hey, one day it looks really nice and then the next day he's going to cast it into an oven and just burn the whole thing up. How about we worry about things that are going to last? Our relationship with the Lord. No need to worry about the future. You have no need to worry about that. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we're almost done. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your wants. No, all your need according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ has met our needs. If I never had another pair of shoes, I've seen a lot of people that love the Lord Jesus Christ and don't have shoes. Saw them in Africa. They have socks. They have socks with no bottoms because they wore them out. They used them as shoes. And they love Jesus. And they're saved. Don't need a pair of shoes. You've got the Lord Jesus Christ. Met your real need. Such provision is associated with obedience and sacrifice. Here, that's what's going on here. What happened? There was full surrender. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able to do great things. God is able to meet your need. How can God meet all of our needs? He sent Jesus Christ to meet our needs. So that picture back in Genesis chapter 22, a voluntary offering to meet the need. That's what he does daily in our life. God has provided above and beyond just our sin need. But He provides a lot more. I don't think anyone within the sound of my voice here tonight does not have a place to live. How has God provided for you? I made a list of some things. Provided a family, a church, godly examples, health, food. We know no physical needs, honestly. He's also provided a way of communication between us and Him. Prayer and Bible reading. So if we just step back for a minute and appreciate Jehovah Jireh in our life, who saw our need and repeatedly meets our need, can I ask you, what fear or what worry do we have going forward? None. Has He not proven Himself over and over again in our life? He certainly has. Has there ever been a time when He hasn't? No. No. So what makes us think for the last 6,000 years He has been able to meet every single person's need? What makes me worry about tomorrow? I'll tell you what makes me worry. A lack of faith. That makes me worry. Because when I trust Him like how I should, I have no worries. Because He's not just the Creator. He's not just the most holy name you could say. He's not just our Master. He's the God who sees your needs and meets them. Let's all stand.